All right, we're going to start here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Pehei Amud Bet. The Mishnah begins, Bat Yisrael miureset lekohen, mu'beret mikohen, shomeret yavam lekohen. So you have all these instances, either Bat Yisrael who is halachically engaged to a kohen, she's pregnant from a kohen, or she's awaiting yibum from a kohen. V'chein bat kohen liYisrael, a bat kohen who's married to Yisrael, lo tochal b'truma. In all of these cases, she's not entitled to truma. This is something we've already seen in the Masechta, which is, even though midoraita, kinyan kaspo already starts by the time of erusin, the chachamim said no until nisuin, as well as the fact that mi'uberet, a woman who's pregnant, does not entitle her to truma until the blood is born. Also, it disqualifies her from the truma of her father's house, in the same way that erusin disqualifies her from the truma of her father's house. And so that's all that is being laid out here in the first half of the Mishnah. Bat Yisrael miureset Levi, a Bat Yisrael who again has a halachic engagement to a Levi, or muberet mi Levi, shomeret yavam le Levi, v'chein bat Levi li Yisrael. Also in the reverse, a bat Levi to Yisrael, lo tochal b'maser. They're not permitted to take from the maaser rishon. So here we have a similar halacha that we have by truma, now being presented to us by Maaser Rishon, which will take up most of what the Gemara is going to discuss at this point, because why is it that Maaser Rishon has the same din as Truma? Va'levi miureset lekohen, miuberet mikohen, and shomeret yavam lekohen. So a case where you have a bat Levi who was entitled to Maaser Rishon until this point. Now, if she has some sort of connection to the kohen, she'll be entitled to Truma, but she's in these in-between stages. She's Mureset the Kohen, so she has yet to gain, at least mit Rabbanan, the right to Truma, but she's already lost her right to Maaser Rishon. Same thing with Muberet. Muberet disqualifies her from Maaser Rishon, but does not yet qualify her for Truma. Shomeret Yavam the Kohen is the same thing. V'chein Bat Kohen the Levi, same thing as a Bat Kohen to the Levi, is the same problem in reverse. She was entitled to Truma, now she will be entitled to Maaser Rishon. But lo tochal lo b'truma v'lo b'maaser rishon. That they're disqualified from both sides because she's in this limbo state, and this limbo state disqualifies her from whatever she was getting from her father's house or previous condition. And now she has yet to enter fully into the new stage where she'll be entitled to whatever it is, either it's maaser rishon or truma. Utehei zara. So Gemara asks the basic question is, let her be an outsider. Zara mi lo achla b'maaser. This says along the lines of your question, which is, Truma is Asura Lezarim. So there you have no choice. Until the person qualifies to eat Truma, you can't give them Truma because there is a Chiyuv Mita Bidei Shemaim for Zarim to eat Truma. So therefore you have to be careful. You can only give it to those people that are qualified. But Maaser Rishon, which is Chulin, once it's separated away from the Tevel, it's completely Chulin. And if you go over to the Levi's house, he can give you Maaser Rishon as he chooses. It's just, he has a monetary claim on it. There is no Iser Zarim that applies like by Truma. Then over there, why are we so worried about this, whether it's a Bat Levi or it's someone marrying a Levi? Why are we so careful about giving them the Maaser, not giving them the Maaser? It really doesn't make such a big difference. It's only a monetary matter. It's not really an Isur that we're dealing with. And that's what the Gemara wants to understand here. So Amar Rav Nachman Shmo, ha mani Rabbi Meir hi. This is Mishnah's authored by Rabbi Meir, Damar, Maaser Rishon, Asur Lezarim. So we do have an opinion in the Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, who believes that Maaser Rishon has the same din like Truma, which is it's Asur Lezarim. Obviously the Zarim are different here, which is the Zarim by Truma are non-Kohanim, and the Zarim by Maaser Rishon, let's now assume those are non-Leviim, because the Levi is the one who's entitled to the Maaser Rishon. And this is the Tanya, we have a Braita. Truma lekohen, umaiser rishon lelevi, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Truma goes to the kohen, maaser rishon goes to the Levi. Rabbi Elazar, now Tosafot takes out Ben Azariah. He thinks that Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah is a peer, somewhat of a peer to Rabbi Akiva. We know that from the story in Brachot, when they're looking to replace the Nasi, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah are up as the candidates for the possibility of replacing the Nasi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seems to be much younger at that point than Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Meir is a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, but a later Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. He's the one of the surviving Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So it's not so far-fetched that they argue, but generally we find Rabbi Elazar ben Azayin and Rabbi Kiva to be peers, and therefore Tosafot says that it's got to be Rabbi Elazar here who's arguing with Rabbi Meir, who is a peer of Rabbi Meir's, rather than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who is more likely a peer of Rabbi Akiva. Matiro the Kohen. He says that it's good for the Kohen. Sumar says, Matiro, Michlal de Ikemand Asar. It's Matir to the Kohen, makes it sound like someone else says that it's Asur. Ela Ema notno af the Kohen. He can give it even to the Kohen. Now, how do we learn out of this that Rabbi Meir believes that Maisa Rishon is Asur the Zarim is not so clear? The Gemara says, we know that Rabbi Meir believes Maisa Rishon only goes to the Levi and no one else. Rabbi Meir never said that over here, and so where do we know that from? Rashi says it's a deal out of his Lashon. The fact that he says Truma the Kohen, Maaser Rishon the Levi, draws a parallel between Truma and Maaser Rishon. Why mention Truma the Kohen? That's obvious, and it doesn't add anything. It's not additive in his statement. So Rashi says the fact that he juxtaposed those two statements of Truma the Kohen and Maaser Rishon the Levi shows you that he believes Maaser Rishon acts like Truma. That's one thing. Number two is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, or Rabbi Elazar's statement of Matiro the Kohen means that Rabbi Meir means Asur, that he's talking about Isser and Heter. The fact that Rabbi Elazar says Mutar means Rabbi Meir says Asur, because he's arguing on Rabbi Meir. So that also implies that Rabbi Meir meant Maaser Rishon the Levi and Asur the Kohen. And then Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, no, Mutar the Kohen. That's the way Rashi learns it. But Tosafot disagrees. Tosafot says he doesn't see any of these diukim as being compelling reasons to say that Rabbi Meir believes that Maaser Rishon is only to the Levi. And therefore he has Perish Rivan, De Garsin and Behedra, Bedivri Rabbi Meir, Maaser Rishon, Asur Lezarim. And therefore he has an additional line in the Gemara that says explicitly that Rabbi Meir believes Maaser Rishon is Asur Lezarim, because otherwise he says, I don't know where we find that information from. So he has that additional Girsa. I don't know if he had other Girsa oath that he saw that had this in it, and then he was just bringing that up, or he's saying that that should be added into the words of Rabbi Meir. So that's the way Rashi learns it. This is the way Tosafot learns it out. We'll see in a second how other Rishonim learn out that Rabbi Meir believes that it's Asur Lezarim. So now the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Meir. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's position? Am Rav Acha braid the Rab, Mishmei de Gemara. So I'm here, Rashi says, Mishmei de Gemara means that they have a Mesora all the way back to Rabbi Meir. So they have this directly from Rabbi Meir, Mesora directly from Rabbi Meir is, Ki et Maaser b'nei Yisrael, Asher yarimu la'Hashem Truma. So even Pasuk mentions Maaser, and it mentions Truma. Ma Truma Asura l'Zarim, Af Maaser Rishon Asura l'Zarim. The fact that the Pasuk mentions both Maaser and Truma together tells you that Maaser and Truma are similar. Just like Truma is Asur Lezarim, so too Maaser will be Asur Lezarim. This, according to the other Rishonim, is the source for the fact that Rabbi Meir believes that it's Asur Lezarim because they say it Mishmei de Gemara. They say it with a direct Mesora from Rabbi Meir. So the Amoraim had a Mesora that this was Shitat Rabbi Meir, and that's the source. Not in the Braita itself, but the fact that they have this Mesora. Its attribution is to Rabbi Meir directly, and therefore the Amoraim believe that in the Braita that's what he held as well. So that's a third possibility as to how we know that Rabbi Meir thinks Maaser Rishon is Asur Lezarim. So where it says, Ima Truma Chayavin Alav Mita Bechomesh, Av Maaser Chayavin Alav Mita Bechomesh. Well, if you're going to compare Maaser Rishon to Truma, Truma is a package. Truma is Asur Lezarim. But it also is chayav mita bidei shemaim if you eat it as a zar. It's also if you eat it b'shogeg, you have to pay 1 1/5 times the value of what you've eaten. So there are other trappings to truma that then should apply to maaser. Amar kra, the pasuk by truma says umeitu bo ki yechaluluhu v'yosif chamishito alav. So there it says bo v'lo b'maaser. There's a miut of bo which is umeitu bo ki yechaluluhu. The chiyuv mita bidei shemaim only applies to truma, not to anything else. Alav, but yosef chamishito alav, that only applies alav velo ala maaser. So I have specific miutim that say these dinim only apply by truma, not to maaser. So Rabbi Meir sees the hekesh as being a full-fledged hekesh unless I have exclusions. So now the hekesh brings me to the point where I believe that maaser looks like truma in the sense that it's asur lezarim, just like truma is asura lezarim. Okay, virabonon. So now, what did Branon do with this hekesh? What did they do with that pasuk? Ma truma tovelet af maaser rishon nami tovel. So now the Rabbanon in this instance say that the Hekesh exists, but doesn't exist fully. Now that's a little problematic, because generally when we have a Hekesh, we do Ein Hekesh Lamechta. If you're going to compare them, you have to take everything. Rabbi Meir takes everything, but he has a Miyutim for these two things, the Chiv Mito and the Chomesh. But otherwise he says that Maaser Rishon looks exactly like Truma, which is number one, it'll make things Tevel. If you have yet to take Maaser Rishon off of a fruit or a grain, the grain remains Tevel. Just like when you don't take Truma off, it remains Tevel. In addition, just like Truma only belongs to the Kohen, so too, Maaser Rishon only belongs to the Levi. So Rabbi Meir is learning a full Hekesh. On the other hand, the Chachamim are only learning a partial Hekesh. They say, no, Maaser Rishon, the Levi, is not Asur the Zarim, but we still have a Hekesh that Ma Truma Tovelet Av Maaser Rishon Tovel. So Tosfot asks, how do they have a Gzeir Shev Lemechza? He says it's not really, by definition, this Hekesh is got to be the Mechsa, because even according to Rabbi Meir, the difference between Meiser and Truma is who it goes to. Truma goes to the Kohanim. Meiser goes to the Leviim. So by definition, even if you say there's a Hekesh between Meiser Rishon and Truma, it's not going to be the same, because one goes to the Levi and one goes to the Kohanim. So there's already a break in this Hekesh. And so the Chachamim say, if there's already a break in the Hekesh, then we're only going to have a limited limud out of here. And that limited limud is the fact that Truma causes whatever it's mixed in with to be Tevel, I mean, before it's being removed. So too, Maaser Rishon, before it's moved, the item remains as Tevel. Uka detanyo. Like we have a bright, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Yochol, lo yei chayav el ala Tevel, shlo hu ram mimenu kol ikar. You would only think you have chayav on eating Tevel if you have yet to remove anything from it. Anything meaning, what's the first thing you remove? Is Truma. So only Truma will cause a problem in Tevel. Huram mimenu Truma gdola, v'lo remenu Maaser Rishon. If he took off Truma gdola and not Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rishon v'lo Maaser Sheni. Took off Maaser Rishon, but yet to take off Maaser Sheni. V'afilu Maaser Ani minayin. How do I know that still remains Tevel until you remove it? Tamalomar, lo tuchal le'echol b'sharecha. You're not allowed to eat in your sha'arim. And there in the pasuk it says Maaser degancha, in which the Pashtut of Pasuk is speaking about Maaser Sheni and saying you may not eat it anywhere, you must bring it up to Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, the Gemara is viewing this as Maaser Dagancha, all the Masrot, Lo Tuuchal Le'echol Bisharecha, you can't just eat it in your local venues. Ulahalan Omer, V'achlu Bisharecha V'saveyu. That it says you can eat it in your Sharim and enjoy it. From the Vidu Maaser, which says that you have to give the Maaser Rishon Levi, and you have to give the Maaser Ani Lager Liatom V'Almana, V'achlu B'Sharecha V'Saveyu. So there, it's clearly the Sharecha is referencing not only Maaser Rishon, but also Maaser Ani. And now the Gemara draws a parallel between the B'Sharecha that's found in the Vidui Maaser and the B'Sharecha that's found earlier in Sefer Dvarim. Ma Sharecha Amur La'alan Maaser Ani, Av Sharecha Amur Kan Maaser Ani. Just like Vachlu B'Sharecha V'Saveyu refers to Maaser Ani, so too the Sharecha V'lo Tuchal Le'echol B'Sharecha also refers to Maaser Ani, and therefore it has application L'Gabei Tevel, because it's also called Maaser, it's also called something that you're not allowed to eat when it is still mixed in. V'amar Rachmana Lo Tuchal, and the Pasuk says, don't eat it. Now obviously the Pasuk's not coming to say that you can't eat Maaser Ani, must be saying that until all the masrot are removed from this item, you may not eat it. So the fact that the pasuk says don't eat it, even though it's just called maaser, and maaser, as we just saw now, is also referencing maaser ani, that's enough to disqualify this grain or this fruit, whatever it is that's chayav in trumot masrot from being eaten, as long as all the matanot have yet to be removed from it. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Afilu Maaser Ani is important, because here you're dealing with different gradations of Isur. Truma has a Chiyuv Mita Bidei Shamayim. Maaser Rishon has maybe an Isur Lav associated with it, possibly if it's Asur Lezarim. And then you have Maaser Sheni, which just is Havat Makom, which is asked to be brought up to Yerushalayim. The restriction is again eating it locally instead of up in Yerushalayim. And then you have Maaser Ani, as Rashi calls it, the kill, the kid stalka be alma. It's like giving stalka, the lav tzad kedusha ipe. There is no kedusha whatsoever in Maaser Ani. Suppose the Maaser Rishon, which might have Asur Lezarim, also has Trumat Maaser embedded in it, so it might have kedusha. Maaser Sheni has kedusha, you have to take it up to Yerushalayim. Maaser Ani, you hand it off to the Ani, right? Locally, there is no inherent kedusha in Maaser Ani. So you would have thought, Maaser Ani, why should that make the object into Tevel when it's yet to be removed? That's what the pasuk tells you, that there is this hekesh of lo tuchal le'chol b'sherecha, b'chlu b'sherecha v'saveyu. The hekesh between sherecha sherecha teaches you anything that is sherecha is also going to be restricted in terms of tevel, and that includes maaser ani, because the word maaser is used here, not in any differentiated way to say maaser rishon, maaser ani, maaser sheni. Says anything that is called maaser is problematic until it is removed. So now Gemara says, imi'otam, if it was from there, ava mina lalav, then I would have thought it's only a lav, aval mita lo, kamash malon, that even mita as well. Now, inherent or implicit in the Gemara here is a question, and you can see that in a Lishna Achrina, and then I'll explain it. Lishna Achrina, maaser rishon de tavil midrabi yosi nafko. We learn out the fact that maaser rishon causes tevel from the limud of Rabbi Yossi in the Braita. And then the Gemara says, imehai, have a mina lalav. That if it was from this, I would have thought it's just for a lav, aval mita lo, kamash malon, that mita is included as well. Now, it's not so clear what the difference between Lishna Achrina is and the first Lashon. So whether the second Lashon is posed as a question instead of as a statement, or is it the second Lashon only focuses on Maaser Rishon and not the other Masrot. What the Gemara is saying here is, we have one limud, which is the limud of the Braita, which is lo tuchal le'chol b'sherecha. That limud teaches you that all these different items make the resultant tevel into isur, and you're not allowed to partake in it. What happens if you do partake in that tevel that has yet to have these items removed from it? All we have from the limud of Rabbi Yossi is lo tuchal le'chol b'sherecha, which is a lav. So then you're in violation of a lav. What the Hekesh comes and teaches you is that Maaser Rishon looks like Truma. And that's what the Chachamim said before. The Hekesh of Maaser Rishon to Truma tells you just like Truma is Chayab Mita Bidei Shemaim. And if it's still in an object that has yet to be Mufrash Mimenu, then you're Chayab Mita. So too by Maaser Rishon. If you have yet to take off Maaser Rishon from something, it's Tevel. And that Tevel you're going to be Chayab Mita for. Now, what about Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani? What's the din there? Rashi says over here that everything is included under this chiyuv mita bidei shamayim. That's the point of the Gemara. The Kamash Malone is that everything that makes a tevel is chayav mita bidei shamayim. Question is, how does that work exactly? How do you know by these other objects that you really chayav mita bidei shamayim? So you can see the Tosafot and the Tosafot Yishanim take up the issue. In the Tosafot Yishanim, he says, v'im tomar maaser rishon min olon. First of all, how do you know that Maaser Rishon here is restricted in the Tevel sense? If Maaser Ani is restricted, that's all we learn out of those psukim, then how do you know Maaser Rishon? So if you say it's a kosher kain, right? Hayin miserin min adin. You can't have a lab from a kal v'chomer. So this is what I had suggested before, that the gilui milta shows you that anything that needs to be taken off causes Tevel. Maaser Ani, which is the lowest form, shows you that anything that should have been taken off is problematic, and therefore it would include anything that has yet to be taken off. But then he says afterwards, "Mimem tomar given to Adina and the Chayav Mita, lama le kirado lav." And it does ask the same question. Once you know that you're Chayav Mita for Tevel of Maaser Rishon, why do I need the pasuk that says, "Lo tuchal echol bisharecha"? V'yesh lomar, ditzter kirado lo tuchal le Maaser Ani, shein bo kedusha. What he says here is that the din is different. The lav is for Maaser Ani that has yet to be removed from Tevel, whereas the Chiyuv Mita will only be associated with Maaser Rishon that has yet to be removed. V'im tomar umita minolon de Maaser Ani. But then if you say if that's the case, then how do we know that there's a Mita Bidei Shemayim for not being mafrish Maaser Ani? And so he says, V'yesh lomar, kevin shereinu melo tuchal shemaaser Rishon and Maaser Ani shavin le'inyan lav. Since we see from Lo Tuchal Lechol B'Sherecha that Maaser Ani and Maaser Rishon have a lav associated with not removing them, then if Maaser Rishon also has Chiyuv Mita B'Zei Shemayim, so does Maaser Ani. I mean, they're all in the same package.
Yeah, that's quite a jump.
Okay, so what you're saying is fair. That's a big jump to go from Maaser Rishon, which has embedded in it Trumat Maaser, which would make sense to say that it has a Chiyuv Mita B'nei Shemayim because it's still connected to Truma because of the Trumat Maaser that's embedded in it. And therefore, if you look in Tosafot, Tosafot says there's a possibility. He says either you have to say, and this is how Tosafot explains it, it says, Vim Tomar, min alon the tevel maiser sheni b'mita, halo itkash the Truma, v'yesh lomar, shema ein bo mita. He says, ein hokanami. Maybe there is no Mita B'nei Shemayim associated with maiser ani. Inami came in shin chiluk mishar tevel inyan azara huadin inyan mita. Or the other possibility is tevel. There's no such thing as a differentiation in tevel. Tevel just means you haven't taken off what you're supposed to take off. Once you establish that tevel has a problem, even when maiser rishon's in it, then it just means that whenever you have something called tevel, and that we know already from the iser lav, that tevel is tevel. Once it's tevel, then there's always a few mita b'nei shemayim associated with it. So that's how Tosfot deals with it. He either says, maybe not. Maybe there is no Easter meat to Midei Shemayim if you have yet to take off Maaser Ani from the Tevel. Or, it is that case because Tevel is Tevel. And once you've established that Maaser Ani can make it into Tevel, then Tevel has a din that it's Chiyuv Mita B'nei Shemayim. But he obviously says that there's a difference or possible difference between Maaser Rishon, which is Trumat Maaser embedded in it, versus Maaser Ani, which may not. And maybe the din is different, that there's only a lav by Tevel of Maaser Ani, which is the sheet of the Rambam, which is whatever is the restriction of the item that's embedded in it, that restriction will apply when it's tevel. Truma by itself has a mita b'dei shemayim. So something that's tevel the truma will have a chiyuv mita b'dei shemayim. Maaser ani has a chiyuv lav associated with it, therefore tevel the maaser ani will only have a iser lav possibly associated with it. So that's how you look at it. You look at the item independently and then you say if it's mixed in. But maaser rishon that has trumat maaser embedded in it will also have a chiyuv mita b'dei shemayim because of the trumat Maaser, not because of the Maaser Rishon necessarily, but because of the Trumat Maaser. And Tosfot says we need the Lav here based on the Hekesh. Because how do we know what the Hekesh is speaking about? Because of the Lav. I mean, the Lav teaches us that there's a reason to think about Maaser in terms of Truma. Where is that? Again, remember, Tosfot says the Hekesh is a Hekesh the Mechsa. It's not a total Hekesh because one case it's a Levi, one case it's a Kohen. So how do I know what to make the Hekesh about? That's what the Lav comes to teach you. Lo tuchal lechol b'sherecha comes and teaches you, make the Hekesh about the issue of Tevel. Because the issue of Tevel, we already find precedence in the Ketuv, in the Psukim, to tell us there's a problem. So now that we know there's a problem, you're going to extend the Hekesh to teach you the Mita de Shemayim involves that problem. There are other Rishonim and Achronim over here that bring a different source for the fact that Maaser Ani is Chayav Mita b'dei Shemayim. You can see it quoted in the Marilando here on the side of the Gemara. And that is based on the Midrash Shenecha, which is Galta Yehuda Mioni, Mioni al Shachlu Maaser Ani, Rabibi Ravuna B'Shem Rav, Ochel Tevel Shemaaser Ani Chayav Mita. So the Rosh Mishants and other Rishonim as well as Achronim bring that as the source for the fact that something that's Tevel, the Maaser Ani, is Chayav Mita B'Dev Shemayim, independent of our Sugi over here. So in the end, it'll actually turn out to be something that is a little bit quirky, which is that Maaser Rishon alone, after Trumat Maaser is removed from it, Maaser Sheni alone, as well as Maaser Ani alone, if you eat them, you're not Chayav Mita B'dei Shemayim, it's only a violation of a lav. Yet, if they are still part of the Tevel, I mean they have yet to be separated off from the item, then that item or that Tevel will have a Chiyuv Mita B'dei Shemayim. Which goes back to what I mentioned before, that once it's Tevel, the Shem Tevel is just one unit, and we don't differentiate as to what is causing the Tevel, as opposed to the Shita of the Rambam and the Raivud, who suggest that the level of Iser in the Tevel has to do with the level of the Iser of the item that has yet to be removed. Now the Gemara says, B'mai Ukimto, you established that our Mishnah is Kirabi Meir, Ema Seifa. What are you going to do with the Seifa of the Mishnah if you think that this is Rabbi Meir? Bat Levi Miureset the Kohen. If a Bat Levi was engaged to a Kohen halachically, Ubat Kohen Lelevi, or the reverse, Ubat Kohen to Lelevi, lo tuchal, lo b'truma, lo b'maser. She can't eat, not truma, not maser. Hacha, my zarut, ika. Over here, what's the problem? Where is the zarut that is coming up over here? Because, in this case, you have a Levi and a Kohen, and you're dealing with Levi and Kohen in the same rubric, they're not necessarily zarim. If that's the case, why can't she partake in the Maaser Rishon? If you're telling me the whole problem is that Maaser Rishon is a sort of Zarim, a Bat Levi is not a Zara. She's not considered to be an outsider in this case. If that's the case, then why is there a restriction against her partaking in the Maaser Rishon? Now, the question here is not so clear because seemingly the Mishnah is talking about the right to Achilat Maaser or the right to Achilat Truma. Now, many of the Rishonim believe that even though Rabbi Meir believes that only a Levi is entitled to Maaser Rishon, nevertheless, a Kohen is not Negdar Kizar. He's not a Zar by Maaser Rishon, and he can eat the Maaser Rishon. And so the question over here is, the woman who is stuck between being a Bat Levi and then married to the Kohen, Mimon of Shach, she should have rights to eat over here. But that still doesn't really address the problem, because the Mishnah may not be talking about her right to eat, it may talk about her right to the Kabbalah, her right to receive it, in order to get it from her husband or to get it from her father, that each of these items either entitles her or disqualifies her from that process. So then, why does the Gemara say that Zar doesn't matter over here? So what most of the Rishonim explain over here is that, if according to Rabbi Meir, even though Maaser Rishon is supposed to be given to a Levi, if it is given to the Kohen, it's not an Isur like giving it to a Yisrael, because the Kohen is mutar to eat the Maaser Rishon, and therefore the Erusin of a Bat Levi to a Kohen should not be posel her from the ability to eat Maaser Rishon, because she should either eat it because she is part and parcel with her father's house, or she should eat it because she's now Minat Torah married to the Kohen, and that should entitle her to Maaser Rishon. Even though, again, Rabbi Meir thinks that a Kohen is not necessarily the primary recipient, but it's not asur for him to receive it. Or, more importantly, all the gzerot for why by Erusin we say that a Bat Yisrael should not eat Truma when she's only has Erusin with the Kohen are really not applicable to the Bat Levi or to the Bat Kohen. Because at worst, if she takes them home and then eats them with her family, her family is not precluded from eating these items. So therefore, in this case, she really is not a Zar. And since she's not a Zar, therefore, none of the dinim that the Mishnah lays out should be true regarding this Bat Levi or this Bat Kohen. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshet, my eno chelek tiktani, eno notenet reshut litrom. Okay, so now what Rav Sheshet suggests is, the Eino Achelet in the Mishnah, and this according to Rashi, Rashi says Eino Achelet applies to the entire Mishnah. Anytime it says Eino Achelet the Mishnah, it didn't really mean she can't eat it. It means that she can't grant someone the right to be mafrish trumot from it. Owner of grain, owner of fruits that have to have trumot masrot taken off of them, they can send a shliach to act on their behalf to be mafrish the trumot and masrot. That's only if they are considered to be the baalim of the object. You can't just go over to someone else's property and be mafrish trumot to masrot for them, because they have to do it on their own. You can be appointed as a shliach to do it on their behalf. Over here, she now appoints a shliach to go and do this. Does she have the right to appoint the shliach? The answer is no, because she doesn't yet have rights in these items, because she's only meureset, she's only meuberet. She doesn't have full rights to eat here, not as a zara, not because she's an outsider. She's not an outsider. She's a Bat Levi, or she's a Bat Kohen. The reason being simply because she's not married enough to have the rights to grant shlichut to someone to be mafrish the trumot to masrot. Well, midoraita, she's allowed to eat it as a party to the Kohen, but she still doesn't have ownership. And in addition to that, once she has nisuin, midorabanan, then she would only have a right. And ever since she doesn't have a right, midorabanan, but certainly she doesn't necessarily have a right to act like an owner. So now, the Gemara, the way that Rashi reads the Gemara is, Rav Sheshet is stating that the entire Mishnah now uses the word ochelet to mean mafrish, mafreshet, and not ochelet. Tosafot takes issue with that and says, first of all, if that's the case, and we're changing everything we said until now, it should say Ella Amar Rav Sheshet. The word Ella tells us, generally, it's a signal or code word in the Gemara that we rejected what we said before, and we're switching lines here. So Tosafot says that that can't be the case because they don't have the word Ella here. So what Tosafot says is that we're leaving the first half of the Mishnah intact. First half of the Mishnah, we can explain with Ochelet. And therefore, Ochelet means Ochelet, literally, in the Mishnah, like we've explained until now. But the second half of the Mishnah, where the problem of Zarut comes up, there Rav Sheshet explains that part of the Mishnah as referencing about the Mafrish rather than Ochelet. So he says it's only a partial change. Other Rishonim, again, support Rashi's position over here and show that not everywhere in Shas, where we reverse positions, do we use the word Ella, and therefore could be referencing the whole Mishnah. Gemara says, Michlal de Nesua notenet reshut. So the Gemara says, based on that, it sounds like what you're asking, which is that when she's fully married, she does have the right to be mafrish. She becomes like an owner, and she can give reshut to someone else to be mafrish to Mota Masrot when she's fully married. Gemara says, yeah, yes, that's right. Gemara says, Vahatanya. Vahatanya is minichuta, which means that it's supporting what we just said. Vachaltem oto b'chol makom, atem uveitchem. So it says you can eat it in any place, you and your household. Limeid ala nisua bat Yisrael, shenotenet reshut litrom. Ata umer reshut litrom, oeno elo lechol. Is it she has a right to be take off the truma, or she has a right to eat it? Amart truma chamura ochelet maser akal lo koshikein. If she has rights to eat truma, then why do you have to tell me she has a right to eat maser? Obviously, if she can eat truma, she can eat maser. So you see here, this Tanya, Vahatanya is minichuta, which means that it's supporting what we just said, which is a woman who's fully married does have a right to be mafrish, the trumot and masrot. So now, Mar Breid Ravana Amar, Lomar Sh'ein Chukim La Maser Bebeit Agranot. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that we don't grant her the right to take maser or truma from the place where they distribute it, at the Beit HaGranot. So Gemara says, Hanicha l'manda amar mishum yichud. Why do we not distribute Masrot and Trumot to a woman in the Beit HaGranot? Because we fear for yichud. She might end up over there being alone with the distributor, with the man who is separating out the Trumot to Masrot. To say, please don't go there because it will leave you alone. L'manda amar mishum grusha. So if the problem here is that we're afraid that eventually this woman might not be married anymore to this kohen, and she'll show up in the granot, and we won't know that the fact that she is now a grusha, and he'll keep distributing truma and masroter. Grusha. Now, here we have bat kohen, milo achla bitruma. A batka, grusha bat kohen. Why doesn't she grant it truma? I mean, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a bat kohen that was nereset the kohen. And over there, mi monof shach, she has a right to truma. Either she is married to the Kohen and she gets Truma, or she's divorced from the Kohen and she gets Truma because her father is a Kohen. So, Mimanushaf, if she has a child, then the child grants her the right to Truma. So no matter what, she has rights to Truma. So then what are you worried about in terms of a Grusha over here in our Mishnah? So Gemara says, Ulitameich Grusha Bat Levi Mlio La Achla B'maser. And then, according to your reasoning, again, a Grusha Bat Levi Mlio Achla B'maser, doesn't she also eat by maser, because she's also entitled to maser when she's divorced, if she returns to her father's house. So the same thing should apply there. That's the girsa that you can see here, that's in the Masorat HaShas. The girsa that we have is Levi milo achla b'maser, ulutamei grusha bat kohen milo achla b'truma. Again, in each of these cases, when she's a grusha, what does that matter? It doesn't matter over here if she's a grusha, because she's entitled from either side. And this is the girsa that Rashi favors, and he says the first question of the Gemara is, well, if she is a bat Levi married to a Kohen, then why can't she, after she's divorced, continue to collect maser? Implied in Rashi's statement here is that the Kohen has entitlement to maser, either because we're saying this is like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, or this is Rabbi Meir after Takanat Ezra, or because even Rabbi Meir agrees, as we saw before, that even though the Kohen is not the primary recipient, he still is a recipient. And therefore, this Bat Levi, after she is divorced from the Kohen, she should be entitled to get Maaser when she returns to her father's house, just like she was collecting it while she was married to the Kohen. And then the Gemara poses the question and says, well, if that's your question, then you should have the same problem with Bat Kohen the Kohen. Forget about Bat Levi and Maser, the same problem exists by Truma when you have a Bat Kohen married to a Kohen. So you have to come up to a solution as to why, if the reason we don't distribute to a Bat Kohen in the Goren is because of Grusha, we have to come up with a solution to a Bat Kohen the Kohen, independent of how we set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. Ela Gzeira Mishum Grusha Bat Yisrael. It's a Gzeira because of the Bat Yisrael, because in the Bat Yisrael that's not true. By Bat Yisrael, she's entitlement is only through the marriage. If she's divorced, then she's disqualified. So in the case of a Bat Yisrael Grusha, then we worry about the fact that she might go back to the Goren and keep collecting Truma or Maser, which she's not entitled to anymore. Right. If she has a child from the Kohen, then she's entitled. But the problem is if she doesn't have a child, she's not entitled anymore. So because of Grusha Bat Yisrael, we were gozer about all women that they don't go to the Goren to collect because of this fear. Obviously, the majority of women are Bat Yisrael. And so then, if it's a Bat Kohen or Bat Levi, we're not going to allow her to. Yigmar says, Yochi my iria miureset. Then if that's the way you're explaining our Mishnah here, that the problem in our Mishnah is that we're afraid of the woman going to the Goren and collecting, and that's what it means, in a ochelet over here, then why are you only talking about a mureset? Even if nisua, even if she's married, avasunami, then it should be the same din. The problem here is not about a usav versus nisua. The problem here is woman, period, because she might get divorced in the end, or there might be a problem of yichud. That issue exists both when she's an arusa and when she's a nisua. Where it says, Adad tani reisha miureset, tani nami sefer miureset. So again, here it's clear that the Gemara is only explaining the second half of the Mishnah because the problem here arises, or the question arises, with the bat kohen, the kohen, and the bat levi to a kohen, or bat levi to a levi. So in those cases, the Gemara is trying to deal with that issue. The Gemara says that that issue is all because of the bat Yisrael. Okay, so now the bat Yisrael in the first half of the Mishnah, their miureset makes a difference versus nisuin. Because in the first half of the Mishnah, mi'ureset is the time that she's not entitled to eat. Like a bat Yisrael, a kohen, is not entitled to eat because she's a mi'ureset. Had she been a nisua, she would be entitled to eat the truma. So in the first half of the Mishnah, it's mi'ureset davka, not nisua. So therefore, the term mi'ureset was used throughout the Mishnah, despite the fact that in the latter half of the Mishnah, mi'ureset is not as relevant. It could be even a nisua because of this gzeirah. So again, here, the latter half of the Mishnah, we have different ways to explain it. We have either the way to explain it, which is Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah, that it's Asur Lezarim. We rejected that explanation because of the fact that the latter half of the Mishnah is dealing with people who are not Zarim, and yet they're being disqualified from Maser. So the Gemara answered one of two ways. You have Rav Sheshet who's saying Ochelet doesn't mean to eat, it means to distribute, to take off the Truma. And then we have the second answer by Marbrei de Ravana, who says that the second half of the Mishnah is not talking about a problem of her eating or being qualified to eat. It's a question whether she can go to the Goren to collect the Trumot and Masrot, and we don't allow her to do that, even though technically she should be allowed to go there, because of Zera Atu Bat Yisrael, because of Grusha, or because of Yichud, depending which thing is the problem. Now, by Yichud, it's easy to understand. Grusha is only a problem for a Bat Yisrael, but because of the Bat Yisrael, we also were gozer by the Bat Levi and the Bat Kohen. And again, we also worry about, even though it would be a problem by Nisuin as well, we mention Erisin only because the first half of the Mishnah mentions Erisin, and it's not Dafka. It would also mean Nisuin. So, I did Tani Reishim Mureset, Tani Nami Sefer Mureset. Now, Tani Rabbanan. Truma l'Kohen, u'maiser rishon l'Levi, divir Rabbi Akiva. We have a Braita, which says that maiser rishon goes to the Levi, and Truma goes to the Kohen. That is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, Yomer, l'Kohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azar says to the Kohen, and here this is one of Tosfot's point, that here you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari arguing in a braita, but here it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azari and Rabbi Akiva, not Stam Rabbi Elazar like we had before. So it makes sense that what we said before Rabbi Meir was Rabbi Elazar. So now the Gemara says, Le Kohen velo lo Levi? Are you telling me that the Kohen's only entitled to the Maaser and not the Levi? So Gemara says, Ema af le Kohen, also to the Kohen. My time with Rabbi Akiva, what's the reason behind Rabbi Akiva's position? Dichtiv. Vela Levim to Daber, Vamarta Leem, Belevim Kamishtaikra. The Pasuk, when it talks about the distribution of Maser, is specifically speaking to Levim. So Levim are entitled to Maser Rishon, Kohanim are not entitled to Maser Rishon. Ve'idach, what about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Why does he say the Kohanim also get Maser Rishon? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Besrim Ve'arba Mikomot Nikriu Kohanim Levim. So this is what you had mentioned before, that the Kohanim are also called Levi'im in 24 places. And they give you one example, which is, V'akohanim ha-Levi'im b'nei Tzadok. So over there, b'nei Tzadok are clearly Kohanim. Tzadok is a Kohen in the time of David HaMelech. And it says over there, V'akohanim ha-Levi'im b'nei Tzadok. Kohanim who are Levi'im, the children of Tzadok. So you see there, the Kohanim are called Levi'im. They are a subset of Levi. Levi includes both Levi'im and Kohanim. Kohanim are just a special subset of Levi. And that's the way that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah views them. I mean that the difference in Rabbi Akiva's position and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position is Rabbi Akiva says, Once the Kohanim were segregated from Bnei Levi, they lost their status as a Levi, and now they become Kohanim as a totally new entity. What Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is suggesting, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position, is that a Kohen is just a Levi plus. You're a Levi plus, you're also a Kohen. So you don't lose your rights as a Levi, you maintain your rights as a Levi, you just have additional rights as a Kohen. So therefore, when it comes to Maaser Rishon, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Kohanim and Levim have entitlement. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, Kohanim have been segregated from Shevet Levi, that means that they're only entitled to what the Kohen is entitled to, they're no longer entitled to what a Levi is entitled to. Maaser Rishon only goes to Levim. Rabbi Akiva, Achalo Mazid Amart, he says, you can't say that, Tichtiv. V'chalta Moto B'chol Makom. He says, you can't say that because it says about Maaser Rishon, you can eat it anywhere. Mishi yachol ochlo b'chol makom, yetza kohen, she'en yachol ochlo b'beit ha'kvarot. B'chol makom literally means anywhere. Maaser Rishon has no kedusha associated with it, and it can be eaten anywhere. Anywhere means even in the cemetery. Well, guess who can't eat Maaser Rishon in the cemetery? That's a kohen. That's the proof that a kohen is not qualified to eat Maaser Rishon because he can't eat it b'chol makom. V'idach, what about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? What about their opinion? Ko'echa d'bayi, Delo bayi choma. Iachale bitumata guf lo loki. What does that mean? Kohechi debayi b'choma kom shuotze. What does it mean? Any place. That he doesn't have the requirements that he has by truma. What are the requirements by truma and by kodoshim? By kodoshim, you're required to eat it inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Chazeh v'shok. What are the requirements of truma? That you don't have tumata guf. So there, by truma, the requirement of the kohen is that he be tahor. Also by kodoshim, he has to be tahor, but also he has to eat inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So what does it mean he can eat it b'chol makom? B'chol makom as opposed to the rules by Kodashim and by Truma. So what are the rules by Truma? Tumah Taguf. What are the rules by Kodashim? Inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So what does it mean b'chol makom b'maaser Rishon? Delo bayi choma. You don't have to be inside the walls of Yerushalayim. V'yachalei b'tumah Taguf l'oloki. And if you eat it b'tumah, you don't get malkot. So b'chol makom here is in contrast to what the rules are by other items. It's not b'chol makom means literally everywhere. It just means that it's different than the requirements by Kodashim and by Truma. So hay ginto davishokil Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Maaser Rishon mina. So there was this garden that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a Kohen, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is an Asiri Lezra, he is a Kohen, he's going over to this garden, he's collecting Maaser Rishon. Azal Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva was there, seeing him, Ahadra lepitcha lebeikav gvare. Right, he turned around the entrance of the Gina to face the Beit HaKvarot, suggesting to him, like his opinion, which is that it's the Beit HaKvarot, meaning that Maaser Rishon, you have to be able to take into the Beit HaKvarot, and you can't take it into the Beit HaKvarot. Rabbi Akiva l'shitato, saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I don't think you're entitled to take this Maaser Rishon that is here. Amar, so he says back to him, Akiva b'tarmilo v'ana chaye. Says Akiva b'tarmilo. Tarmilo is a shepherd's pouch. So he says, let's translate like Rashi says, which is, Rabbi Akiva, you have parnasa because you were a shepherd. Ana chaye, how am I going to live? What type of parnasa do I have? Because I am a kohen. A kohen doesn't work because he's working in the mikdash. A kohen doesn't own property because he's not given an akhala. So what am I going to eat? You know, it's easy for you to say that no Maaser Rishon for the kohanim. But meantime, what am I going to eat? Now, there is some difficulty with that because we know from other places in Shas that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was extremely wealthy. So the possibilities are that he's just speaking generally, that it's easy for you to disqualify Kohanim, but Kohanim in general, not speaking about himself necessarily, but in general, Kohanim in general don't have means of Parnasa, and therefore they need the Maaser Rishon because this is not enough. The Truma, right, that's their source of income, that's their source of sustenance. So that's one way to explain it. And that Rabbi Akiva is upset and turning to the Beit HaKvarot because it goes back to what we saw before, the machloket that they had about Beit HaKvarot and B'chol Makom, and that's Rabbi Akiva is hinting to him about that. The next piece of the Gemara, Rashi says, is independent of the previous Gemara. Not all Rishonim agree with that, and many Rishonim believe that it's a continuation of the previous Gemara, and that might have impact on what Rabbi Akiva was saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah now, which is Itmar. Mipnei ma kansu levi'im b'maser. Why was there a knas on the Levim that they no longer get Maaser Rishon? Right, this is found throughout Shas. This is the knas of Ezra. Ezra was kones the Levim, and we're going to see this in the Gemara, because they didn't come up in the second coming. When they returned to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel with Ezra, Ezra checks out, and they're no Levim. Since there were no Levim that came back at that time, he disqualified the Levim from Maaser Rishon, and he gave the Maaser Rishon to the Kohanim. So that's what's going to happen here. The question is, how is this connected to the previous Gemara? Rashi says it's independent. It has nothing to do with the previous Gemara, and that the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are midoraita. And over here, we're talking about a Knas of Ezra. The source for the Knas of Ezra is, it's not easy to find the source for this, because we don't find it in the Psukim. Some quote the Pasuk in Nehemiah, Vayakohen ben Aaron im alivim be'asera alivim. But Rashi, in other places, says that's not a good source, because that might be that the Kohanim were there to ensure they got their Trumat Maaser from the Maaser. It doesn't prove that they were also taking in the Maaser. And so therefore, how do we know there was such a Knas of Ezra? Tosafot over here is grappling with that. In the end, he comes up with this idea that it's found in the Psukim in Malachi. Psukim that there we read for Shabbat and Gadol, based on those Psukim in Malachi, which is Havi'u et kol ha-maaser beit ha-otzar. And the Beit Otzar is the Lishka in the Mikdash, which means they were bringing the Maaser to the Mikdash, which is the purview of the Kohanim. And based on the Gemara Megillah, it says Malachi is Ezra. So that's how we know that the Kanat Ezra is from there. But otherwise, we don't have it so clear that there was any Takana in Ezra, in the Psukim at least. We don't find that from Ezra, that there was such a Takana, and that's what Tosfot's searching for. Where is this Takana from? And again, you have to ask, how does this relate to the previous Machloket? Keep that in mind, and then we'll come back and discuss it. So it might be Makansu Levim b'Maaser. Pligi bar Rabbi Yonatan v'Savio. Chad amar shelo alu b'mei Ezra. One of them says that they didn't come in the time of Ezra. The Levim didn't show up, so they're disqualified. Chad amar kedei shismechu haKohanim alav b'mei Tumatan. The other one is a possibility that Kohanim, when they're Tamei, can't eat Truma. Now, if they're drawing all their sustenance from Truma, then when they're Tamei, they have nothing because they can't eat the Truma. So they need an alternative to Truma. So the alternative to Truma is Maaser Rishon. So Bishlam on the Mandamar Shlo Alu Mishum Kachi Kansinu. So the reason that they didn't come up in the time of Ezra is a reason to disqualify the Levim. Elamandamar Kadesh Yismechu Alav Kohanim be made to Motam. Mishum Kohanim Kansinu Lo Levim. Just because the Kohanim needs some more food, we're going to knock out the Levim. Elakuliyama Kansa Shlo Alu be made Ezra. Everybody agrees that the Knas originated because they didn't show up. Because otherwise there's no reason to penalize the Levim. The question is, what did they do with the Knas? Once they were Kones, the Levim, to lose it, who did it go to? Who was granted the right instead of the Levim? So one holds that Kansa Le'anim, it was to the poor people. Marsaver Kohanim be made to Matan, Aniim Ninu. And one says, wait, guess what? The Kohanim, when they're Tamei, are the equivalent of Aniim, and that's why they were granted that right. Alright, now, the question about the Girsa over here. You can see on the side, on Svermechim, El Rabbi Kiva, my time, Mahadre, the Pitcha, the Beit Kivra. That's one possibility of what it is. So why did Rabbi Kiva turn the entrance of the Gina to face to the Beit HaKvarot? So Gemara says, Hachi Kamarle, Idaka Atit, Betorat Kansa, Idlecha. If you're coming to collect here because of the Knas, then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you have a right to collect. Vik Inka Achi Atit, Betorat Chaluka, Leitlach. On the other hand, if you're coming here to take because you have a right to the Maaser, then you have no right to the Maaser. So that Rabbi Akiva was suggesting to him over here is that if you're coming because of the Knas, then you have entitlement over here because either Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a Kohen is entitled, or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a Kohen that is Tamei was entitled to take it. But if you're coming here because you think Me'ikar Adin, you are entitled to this, that's not true. And that's Rabbi Akiva the Shitato that he said before, that Kohanim don't have a right to Maaser Rishon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah believes they do have a right to Maaser Rishon. So now, what's interesting is that you could now go back and reinterpret Rabbi Akiva's message. Rabbi Akiva's message, when he turned to the Beit HaKvarot, what is he saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Before we said he was saying to him at the Doraita level that you can't have it because Beit HaKvarot is B'chol Makom, and that's the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. He's saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you don't have a right to Maaser Rishon, and that's why he turned to the Beit HaKvarot. But now you can interpret it differently. Two other possibilities. One is he's turning to the Beit HaKvarot and saying, if you're Tamei, you have entitlement here. Because if you're a Kohen Tamei, then you have a right to take because you're an Ani, because that's the Knas. And that's what he's saying to him. You're entitled to the Knas because you're a Kohen Tamei. And he turned to the Beit HaKvarot and says, if you're Tamei, okay. If you're not Tamei, don't take over here. That's one other way to interpret it. Or you can interpret it. Rabbi Akiva, we know, in other places in Shas, is the Gabai Aniim. And so he's turning to the Beit HaKvarot, saying to him, I'm the Gabai Aniim, and you're taking away from the Aniim. This belongs to the Aniyim. It doesn't belong to you. And he's criticizing him for taking it from the Aniyim. Based on the Knas from Ezra, it belongs to the Aniyim now. So because of that, he was turning the entrance of the Gina to face to the Beit HaKvarot, saying, you're taking away from my Aniyim by doing that. So now, if you go back, Rashi said this section of the Gemara is completely independent of the previous section. The other Rishonim say that's not the case. That the Knas of Ezra has impact in depending on what you think the original position is. And Tosafot speaks about this. Tosafot says, if you're like Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that originally the Maser only belonged to the Leviim, then when you have a Knas now that comes and takes it away from the Leviim, then you can talk about either entitlement to the Aniyim or entitlement to the Kohanim, or you can talk about the Kohanim coming in. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says originally Midoraita, the Maaser Rishon goes to both Levim and Kohanim, why are Kohanim disqualified from Maaser Rishon? Why are you giving it to the Aniyim instead of the Kohanim? The Kohanim still have a right to the Maaser Rishon. So the answer, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is the Kohanim still have a right to it. They have a right to take it. Rich, not rich, Kohanim have a right to take it. Then in addition to that, they added on that Aniyim also have a right to take Maaser Rishon, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. According to Rabbi Akiva, it might be that they granted it just to the Kohanim and the Kohanim that are Aniyim. Now, what that means is because, and Tosfot says is that most of the Kohanim were Aniyim. Most Kohanim were Aniyim because they had no means of Parnosa. They didn't have land, they didn't have a Parnosa, they work in the Mikdash, so they were poor. So therefore the Kohanim Aniyim get it. But that's just Kohanim. Now, in the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's position, Kohanim Ashirim and Aniyim can come and take Maaser Rishon. In addition to that, Aniyim get it. According to Rabbi Akiva, if the Kohanim were granted, it was only Kohanim Aniyim that were granted it, not other Kohanim. Not just exclusive Kohanim Aniyim, but all Aniyim were granted it. And that might also relate. If you say the two sugyot are connected, then that might be what Rabbi Akiva is criticizing Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah for. He's saying, you, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is a Kohen Ashir. I believe that only the Kohanim Aniyim get it. And it's still their same machloket. Because after the Knas of Ezra, what's the status? According to Rabbi Akiva, only Kohanim Aniyim are entitled. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even Kohanim Ashirim are entitled. So Rabbi Akiva turned the entrance of the Gina to face away. He might be saying to him, I think it's only for a Kohanim Aniyim. And Rabbi Elazar says, I think it's even for Kohanim Ashirim, because the Kohanim have entitlement to Maaser Rishon. All right, the Gemara says, Umenala unto lo saliku bime Ezra. How do we know that the Levim didn't come up in the time of Ezra? Tichtiv, kabseim el anar, abale ahava, ve'chne sham yamim shlosha, vavina ba'am, ubekohanim, ubnei Levi, lo matzati sham. Says, I checked out, I found people there, I found Kohanim, I just didn't find any bnei Levi. So there you have it. The Levim just weren't there with Ezra. Amrav chista, b'tchila lo ayum amidim shotrim el amini Levim. Originally, shotrim came from the Shevet Levi. Shenemar, the sheriffs that were enforcing the law came from Bnei Levi. Shenemar, b'shotrim alevim lifneichem. In Divrei Yamim, it says Levim are shotrim. Akshav ein me'amadim shotrim elam Yisrael. But now that changed because Levim didn't show up. They lost their positions. Now we me'amadim themselves. Shenemar, they quote a pasuk that doesn't exist. Shotrim harabim b'roshechem. That the shotrim of the rabim, who are the most? Israel, they are b'roshechem. They are the shotrim that are here. Pasuk doesn't exist anywhere in Tanakh. So the question is, where did it come from? The only one who makes a really good suggestion here is the Tosfot Yishanim, who says, maybe Shema Hainu Dichtiv Vasiyemein B'roshechem. Vasiyemein B'roshechem over there in Dvarim. Aleph, it says that I put them as your heads. So maybe that refers to, that's what the Pasuk they're referring to. They're quoting the sense of the Pasuk, not the exact words of the Pasuk, that Israel are now the Shotrim because there were no Levim available. Now Rashi brings in the Gemara in Kedushin and Tosfot quotes it over here that there were Levim that came up in the time of Ezra. We have Sukkim that show there were Levim that were there. Tosfot over here explains either Perish Rashi Basara Yuchsin to Otan Levim Shalui Mo Hayu Tzei Behonot. They cut off their thumbs or their big toes. They could not play the musical instruments anymore because Nebuchadnezzar asked them to sing for him and they refused to sing because they only wanted to sing Shir Tzion and not anything else. So they hurt themselves so they couldn't play for him, but now when they went back up, they couldn't play in the Mikdash. Since he found nobody who could play in the Mikdash, that's why he made them a Knas, because only the Psulim came, not those that were Ro'ui L'Mikdash. So even though we find that there were Levim that came, they weren't Levim, they were qualified for Shir. Okay, we're going to stop here, but the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Bet.